They don't know what a monkey is, and they don't need to know. Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And I was not monkeying around this week.
Well, this documentary was.
This documentary sure was.
We watched My Monkey Baby.
And it was everything you might imagine.
I'm vexed.
And perplexed, maybe?
Watching this documentary, I had a moment where I had to stop myself from not only yelling at the screen, but grabbing and shaking it.
So I have a confession. I actually saw this documentary when it came out in 2009, and I believe it aired on TLC, and I did not remember that I had seen it previously until I watched it again. And I remember being vexed at that time as well.
Okay.
Should we just get into it?
I think we have to.
Most of us have some sort of parenting instinct, a desire to nurture, to bring little ones into the world. But not everyone can have, or even wants, a real baby. In America, a unique solution is emerging, a new form of family life.
Look at those big pretty eyes.
Yep, you're a family now.
Thousands of Americans are raising a monkey as a member of their family.
I have to say that the British narrator felt judgy.
Oh, absolutely. And I ride for the narrator.
Right. But it's like, this is a uniquely American problem, is absolutely the subtext of what she's saying, and also probably accurate.
Holding this documentary in the lens that a bunch of British people made this as like a look what these idiots are doing in the colonies.
This is what happens when you break away from the queen.
Or maybe just like we were right to let them go.
Right.
So we're told that this is the story of three couples who have chosen to share their lives with monkeys, not as pets, but as family. And our first couple is Jesus and Carmen from Indiana.
I don't want to offend our Indianan listeners, but it's the worst state in the union.
Oh, that's a strong statement.
I know, but I really don't like Indiana, Dave. And this documentary and Carmen and Jesus are not helping that.
No, Carmen has crocheted something for the monkey, and Jesus is very excited to have a baby girl.
Yes, they are packing up with the enthusiasm that you would expect someone who's like, they just got the call that their like surrogate is going into labor, or like the baby they're going to adopt has just been born.
Yeah.
But it's a monkey.
It's a monkey. I feel like the other potential title for this documentary could have been, it's a monkey.
Right.
But you would have to say it like that. And I don't know how you write those words to have the proper enthusiasm. Maybe monkey just has to be in italic.
Yeah, the emphasis has to be on monkey, I think.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't want people to think you're like, it's a monkey.
No, I think there's no exclamation mark. I think there's like a period.
How about like it's period, a period, monkey?
A monkey is all capped?
Yes.
I think that works.
Okay. I'm going back to Jesus and Carmen.
Jesus can't have and does not want to have children of his own, but he thinks he's finally financially stable enough to be able to get a monkey.
Yes. Monkeys are about the same cost as giving birth is in America, if you have health insurance. They're like $4,500 for a monkey.
Yeah, it's not a cheap purchase.
No, it's not an impulse buy.
They've got a 5-hour car journey to get the monkey, and that's where we leave them for now. And we meet our next couple. We meet Lori and Jim, and we're told that Lori has raised 6 children. She wished that she could have kept them small forever. But like all children, Lori's grew up and left home, leaving her with a lack of purpose.
That's sad.
Find a hobby. Get a job. Volunteer.
Be a foster parent even. There's so many real children that could use your help and support.
Well, Lori adopted Jessica Marie, a capuchin monkey. And now she has a daughter who will never grow up and never leave her.
Named Jessica.
Jessica Marie.
It's a monkey named Jessica Marie.
We're also told that not everyone would take on a monkey, but Jim, Lori's second husband...
Shocker.
...didn't hesitate. So does that mean that her first husband really, really hesitated? Right? To the point where he left?
I don't want, like, what if he passed away? Like, I don't want to disparage him a little bit too much, but the monkey even seems skeptical of this whole being their daughter.
Yeah. Well, all of these monkeys seem skeptical of their situations.
Yes.
Credit to the monkeys.
So going back to Jim, he's all in on having a monkey daughter.
Oh, he sure is.
She's my baby girl. If I hear somebody call her a monkey, I throw a fit. She is my daughter, 100%.
I wonder if he flings poo when he throws a fit.
Maybe he's learned a little something from the monkey. So we get a little clip of Lori putting makeup on the monkey.
It's really disturbing.
She puts makeup on the monkey.
Yes, she does. It's a monkey.
She puts makeup...
Yes.
On the monkey.
Yes.
Having brought up two daughters of her own, Lori knows how teenage girls like dressing up, even if they are monkeys.
But she thinks the monkey's happy.
Yeah.
Oh. She says that there's nothing the monkey longs for, and she says...
She doesn't like other monkeys. She doesn't know what another monkey is.
So how do you know that she doesn't like other monkeys? But fine.
Jessie has, you know, a frequent purchaser card at the local Sephora. She's super into Urban Decay makeup.
Oh.
Easy, breezy, beautiful. It's a monkey. That's like the new ad campaign.
We jump back to Jesus and Carmen, who are at the house where they're going to be picking up the monkey. And I could not help but notice, because we see her kind of leave the front room where Jesus and Carmen are waiting, and she goes back into this back room that looks like one of those trashed homes from a horror TV show.
Yes! Before you even get in the house, she has a lawn jockey in her front yard. Right? Ugh. Anyways.
So, Jesus and Carmen have gone for a distinctive name. They have named the monkey... Butters.
Yep. So they show the monkey, and it's cute, but it's cute in that, like, it's so ugly, it's cute sort of way.
Yeah. Cheryl, the breeder, takes us back where she has dozens of monkeys kept in uncomfortably small cages, and we're told that in the wild, baby monkeys bond with their mothers for a year, but Butters and her mother were separated after just 10 days.
It was sad. Butter's mom is like very upset in this scene.
Yes.
And they're just like, ah, that was your mom.
Yeah.
The scene was so messed up.
It was. But I can think of more messed up things.
Yeah. It doesn't stop.
In Tennessee, experienced monkey mom Mary Lynn knows all about the joys of monkey motherhood. Her toddler, Silly Willie, has shared her bed since he was a baby.
It's profoundly disturbing.
And something that I didn't realize, we see her try to brush Silly Willie's teeth, and monkeys apparently do not like toothpaste.
No, like really don't.
Like he kind of recoils after he tastes it and like freaks out a little bit.
Yeah. And monkeys also apparently don't enjoy talking on the phone, because she tries to have somebody talk to Silly Willie on her flip phone. And Silly Willie is not there for it.
No, he's not interested. Also not interested is Bob, Mary Lynn's third husband, who we're told is always very patient with Silly Willie, but is pretty much absent from this documentary.
Yeah. They show a scene of him like painting in his office, and that's sort of all we get of Bob.
Mm-hmm. Mary Lynn wanted to have children, but... she had to have a hysterectomy at 32 and was not able to have any of her own. And so soon after that, she began adopting monkeys. But then we see Mary Lynn driving down the road with Silly Willie sitting on her shoulder.
You can't text and drive. You can't monkey mom and drive.
No. We cut back to Lori and Jim, and they talk about how Lori gives Jessie pretty much any food that she wants.
Turnovers, cookies, cakes. She likes donuts. She likes cupcakes. She likes candy. She likes ice cream. She likes sherbet. She don't like bananas.
There we go.
I kind of question, looking at Lori and Jim, how much opportunity she's had to try fruit.
Well, and I feel like this is actually one area where the Venn diagram of toddlers and monkeys do overlap in terms of favorite foods.
They reiterate again that they really see Jessie as their daughter, but not everybody else feels that way. And then they get thrown out of a restaurant.
Yes. And they're super indignant about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I won't come back again. Wow.
And the lady who owns the restaurant is sort of like, that's fine.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of concern on the restaurant owner's part, who's telling them, like, if somebody from the Board of Health came in here and saw this, like, I would be shut down.
Right. Which is, I hope, true.
I hope it's true, too. You got to get your animal out of here.
How dare they? It's not an animal, Dave. It's their daughter.
Well, she says,
people just think, oh, they're nasty. They carry diseases. They're dirty. She's much cleaner than a lot of people's kids. I've seen her act better and behave better in a restaurant or places that we've gone than kids do.
Well, and they do preface this by taking Jessie Marie to a store and have her try on different outfits. And she does seem to be a good sport about that.
Mm-hmm. So we cut back to Mary Lynn. And we're told this.
Mary Lynn thinks Silly Willie has taken some pills from her handbag, but she has no way of knowing. Unlike a child, Silly Willie can't say if he's taken the tablets or not.
Mary Lynn's solution to this is to call an animal psychic and ask the animal psychic, could you ask Willie if he took a pink thyroid pill or a hormone pill?
Over the phone.
Hi, Sonia. I could use your help with Willie right now. He ate some of my medicine, and I just need to know whether or not I got an emergency or not.
And the psychic says,
you know, he's telling me that he says that he did not take the pill.
Oh,
and
good.
He really wants you to know that. He says, I didn't take that pill.
Oh, good.
What the actual fuck? Does she actually love this monkey? Because I'm sorry. The whole point of this is, like, these are these people's children.
Yes.
People have young children that can't express whether or not they've taken a pill.
Right.
People have kids who have problems and they're nonverbal in some way. But I don't think they call a psychic.
No. And honestly, if you had a child and you called a psychic and asked them if the child took a pill that could potentially cause medical harm to them, you would go to jail if you just took the psychic's word for it and then the kid got really sick.
Silly Willie ends up not getting sick.
Oh, good.
So I guess the psychic is right.
And it made me wonder, like, she has the psychic on speed dial.
Mm.
How often is she calling the psychic about stuff to do with her monkeys? And the psychic is reading the monkeys' minds over the phone. Like, she's not even in proximity to the monkey.
It almost makes you wonder if it's made up bullshit.
I don't know.
The next thing that we're told is,
it's been a long day. Silly Willie has missed his nap, so he's struggling to keep it together.
So am I.
They're in a toy store and she's talking to the monkey in a voice that is so high only dogs can hear it.
No, no, leave him alone! Leave him alone! Leave him alone!
But then Mary Lynn says that she knows that Silly Willie has dirty britches, but that's okay. They've been away from the house for a long time, which to me reiterates the validity in the restaurant manager's decision to kick the animal out of the restaurant.
Right.
Because how many hours would you let a kid sit in a dirty diaper?
Again, this is not analogous to having a child.
It did remind me of one of the grossest restaurant experiences you and I have ever had.
Where the person like put their kid on the table and changed their poopy diaper in the middle of the restaurant?
Yeah, inside a Culver's.
Ugh.
We learned Jesus had a vasectomy when he was 22 because that's how adamant and sure he was that he didn't want to have kids.
Having watched this documentary, I support his decision.
Good on him.
Good call.
They get pulled over for speeding the next day, but the cop likes the monkey and lets him off with a warning.
The monkey is super cute in that, like, so homely, I'm cute sort of way. Maybe we need a monkey to get you out of speeding tickets.
I thought about that.
Like, oh, don't you want to look at the monkey? Oh, all right, officer, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
So they take Butters home and they introduce her to their dogs, which are two big dogs. They look like pit bulls or pit bull mixes. And then they let the dogs like lick Butters. And like the dog's head is like three times the size of Butters. And I'm thinking, bro, you just spent $4,500 on this monkey.
And you're letting your dog lick its face off.
This dog just has to chomp once and your monkey's dead. I don't think there's a return policy on monkeys. Like, you can't take it back to Sherry's house and say, here's my receipt. I swear it was like that when I left.
We go back to Jesse with Lori and Jim. And we learn that it's Jesse's 18th birthday.
And we also learn that none of Lori's six children are speaking to her.
No, the narrator says that their relationship soured as they got older. And she says,
about 5 years since I've seen any of my children. It started disintegrating, I think, when they got to their teenage years. And they all decided that they wanted to be their own person.
I don't know what kind of parent wants their child to be in suspended animation. Like, don't you want your children to grow up and progress? But no, she wants perpetual infants and toddlers. Not even like school age kids.
No. This little bit with them ends with Lori saying,
she was going to be a baby I was going to have forever. She wasn't going to graduate. She wasn't going to go to college. She wasn't going to get married and she wasn't going to leave me. She would be with me until I die.
It's mind-blowing. She had kids for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. If you have kids because you want to be around babies, they're not going to stay babies that long.
No.
So we cut back to Mary Lynn. She's filled her life with monkeys. She actually has several in addition to Silly Willy. And she talks about how she wants the monkeys to be around each other so that they don't grow up thinking that they're humans when they're monkeys, which seems healthier than Lori's take on, they don't know what a monkey is and they don't need to know.
Right. And her speaking voice when she's talking to the monkeys sounds exactly like Parker Posey.
Oh, it kind of does.
I feel as if Silly Willy is getting what he needs. He's getting the best of both worlds.
She has this other monkey named Maggie, and Maggie does not appreciate wearing diapers. Or as Mary Lynn calls them, panties. And so she sheds them and then gets punished by having to go in her cage.
Yeah, she gets a little timeout.
Monkeys in the wild don't wear diapers. But now when it's doing its like natural thing of taking a diaper off, it has to go sit in a cage. Like, would you put your child in a cage?
Me personally? Or Mary Lynn?
Well, I guess those are two different questions. And dear listener, we don't have children. So Dave is not putting our children in cages.
No. I joke. If it makes you feel any better, at bedtime, she does put a movie on for them and it appears to be monkey themed.
It does. I was really hoping for Bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah. So we go back to Butters with Jesus and Carmen and the narrator asks them what would happen if the two of them split. And Carmen makes some kind of joke about, like, he'd be single for a long time. And Jesus agrees.
Chances are I'd be single for a really long time, because what woman wants to get involved with a guy that has a monkey that needs 98% of my attention?
It's a very good question, Carmen.
Maybe Carmen wants a break from Jesus.
Maybe she's like, okay, we'll get this monkey and he'll stop paying attention to me. But they've apparently been together since they were like 12 or 13 years old. And I just feel like Carmen could do better.
Better than a guy with a monkey for a daughter?
Right.
I feel like any woman who wants to do better than that could do better than that. That's a low bar.
They take Butters to Target with them. And they get like really dramatic reactions from like the cashier and everything's great. But they acknowledge that Butter's going to get aggressive as she gets older. And one of them has to be there 24/7 for like the rest of Butter's life. And Butter's has a projected lifespan of 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who would sign up to have a angry infant with teeth that doesn't understand or speak any sort of English, has sharp fangs, sharp claws, and has to have somebody with it 24/7.
And that's a fair point, because one of the things that they talk about kind of at the end of the documentary, they go back to Lori and Jim. The interviewer kind of presses.
How are you going to manage as you get older looking after her?
Well, she's going to have to take care of me. It's amazing what these monkeys can actually do. They are trained and can be trained to take care of people that are paralyzed. If they can do that, they can take care of an older woman or an older man, you know.
I want to see that movie. Is the monkey vacuuming? Is the monkey preparing meals? We already know monkeys can't be trusted with pills.
Right.
So the monkey's not going to help medicate her. Like, she has some really unrealistic expectations.
She sure does. And the documentary actually says that in so many words.
In a British accent that's super judgy.
Like many aging parents, Laurie and Jim may have developed unrealistic expectations of their daughter's involvement in their old age.
Yeah, it's like Mary Poppins, like coming and telling you that what you expect your pet to do for you is ridiculous.
With no spoonful of sugar.
No, no. Well, we're not quite done with Mary Lynn yet. She has been caring for monkeys for 21 years, and that can be expensive, so she's come up with a unique solution. She puts on monkey shows.
Yes.
And the documentary says that this familiarizes people with primates and also puts her in contact with children.
Yes. And the baby talk is maddening.
Okay, baby, 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 baby,
She puts a helmet on a monkey and she tries to get one in a dress. Okay. I don't know what you expected, but when I heard that she goes around familiarizing people with primates and putting on a show for children, I thought that there was going to be some level of education.
Yes. Like, this is the type of monkey. This is what monkeys like to eat.
Turnovers, cookies, cakes, donuts, cupcakes, candy, ice cream, sherbet. She don't like bananas.
There we go.
It's just her, like, playing dress-up with the monkey in front of a room of kids.
Yes. And the monkey objects to wearing clothes.
They ask her, how do you know the monkeys enjoy being in the show?
How do you know that the monkeys enjoy taking part in the show?
Because when it's time to go and get them, they come out of the cage. I don't feel as if I ever have to make them.
So, opening the door on something that's in a cage and the thing that's in the cage leaving is not the same as someone expressing enthusiasm for something.
No, no. It's like saying that you enjoy traffic because you leave work at 5. They're not analogous.
Well, Jamie, monkey moms and dads are a lot like regular parents. They just want a happy family life.
And I am. Well, this treads me into what did you learn?
Well, I'm ready to go there. Are you?
Sure. Dave, what did you learn?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
It occurred to me that sometimes the only thing saving a person from becoming a villain in a Stephen King book is owning a monkey. Because at least one of these women has very strong misery vibes to me.
Yes, I would agree with that.
The other thing that I learned is more about structure. I got real sick of, like, you don't need to cut back and forth every 3 minutes to some other group of people and tell their story. This isn't Star Wars. You aren't George fucking Lucas. Like, you've got a 10-minute story about these people. You don't need to break it up into 5 2-minute chunks.
You feel some kind of way about this.
What did you learn?
I wanted to find out if there was any information out there about what happened to these monkeys in the 10 years since this documentary was made. And I couldn't find any information. But Jessie Marie, before the documentary was filmed, they had removed all her teeth.
What?
Because she was biting them. And that at least some of Mary Lynn's monkeys had also had their teeth all removed. It's just really sad. Like, something isn't your child if you have to remove its teeth in order to live in harmony with it. Like, that's sad.
There's such a change from where it was, like, even 20 years ago with something like just declawing a cat. I feel like taking all of monkeys' teeth away.
Right.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, what I learned is there are a lot more men out there with more permissive...
Oh, boy.
Pet ownership.
Here we go.
Viewpoints than the man to whom I am currently married.
You fancy Jesus? Is that what you're saying?
No. Dave, perhaps wisely, upon meeting my family and our huge abundance of pets, I think at one point we had somewhere between 35 and 40 pets at one time, has limited me to 2.5. And I feel like a monkey would probably count as like at least 3. So they're just totally off the table.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think once an animal is that close to being a person on the like evolutionary scheme of things.
Right.
I definitely don't feel like I need a monkey. And I absolutely agree that that would break the 2.5. I think the monkey would have to maybe just replace me, or it would be one of those things where I would be Bob, who's like, yeah, I'm just going to go to a whole different side of the house and pretend none of this is happening.
And that totally seems like Bob's role. He's just like, I'm checked out.
Yeah.
It seemed like Jim, Lori's husband, is like all in on the monkey.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, his life's dream was to be a monkey dad. He just did not know it.
Jamie, it's a monkey.
It's a monkey is the correct way to pronounce it.
Well, you found this and you watched it multiple times.
I know. Technically, now I've seen it 3 times. I know. I do want to be perfectly clear. When I watched it when it came out in 2009, it was with the same horror that I watch it with now. Like, it was like watching a train wreck. Like, wait, she's calling a pet psychic?
I'm a little dismayed that you watched something like that without calling me into the room and saying, just watch this for like 5 minutes.
But I made up for it by making you not only just watch it, watch it slowly and agonizingly while taking notes, and then come on this podcast and discuss it.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome. So if you agree with us that it's a monkey, you can follow us on Twitter at Super True Story or on Facebook at Super True Stories.
And we should thank Tomb Dragomir for our theme music. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And a special shout out to our friends at 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. More fun podcasts to check out.
As always, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And we'll be back at you in a couple weeks with a brand new episode. Until then, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.